Well, good morning. It is truly wonderful to have each and every one of you here this morning. It's good that we can come and worship the Lord. We'll begin our worship time by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal number 549. Begin by singing the doxology. Worship is hymn number 708. Now this is the message that we have heard from his Son and announced to you. God is light, and there is no darkness at all in him. If then we say that we have fellowship with him, yet at the same time live in the darkness, we are lying both in our words and in our actions. But if we live in the light, just as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, makes us clean from every sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and there is no truth in us. But if we confess our sins to God, we can trust him, and he does what is right. He will forgive us our sins and make us clean from all our wrongdoing. If we say that we have not sinned, we make a liar out of God, and his word is not in us. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 278, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Number 278, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. We come before you, Lord, with all of the challenges that we are facing, all of the shortcomings that we have in our lives. And Lord, our desire is to continue to have a relationship with you in all things. And God, forgive us for those times when we have not been focusing on you, when we have made decisions that have affected us in so many ways and the people that we love. Lord, we do want to follow you, and we do want to be more close to you each and every day. And so, God, right now, as we begin this time of worship, we come with that desire. And, Lord, we lay before you the needs and requests that we have in our lives, the needs of not only just us, but our friends, our family members, fellow patients throughout this medical center, the staff that are working today, the family members that will be coming to visit. And, Lord, we just lay all these things to you. And, God, as we pray to you, we are reminded of the relationship that we do have through your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, we rejoice in that. And we are so thankful for that, because in that relationship, we can come to you just as we are. You forgive us of our sins, you hear our requests, and you fill us with your presence in our lives. And we praise you for that. God, we are so grateful for this time that we can come and just be blessed by the presence of each and every one that is here as an act of worship to you. And we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 275, Fairest Lord Jesus. Number 275, Fairest Lord Jesus. Scripture reading this morning is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 8. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen.
Let's pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful for the time of worship that we have had thus far, the hymns that we have sung together, the scriptures that we have read, the prayers that we have offered. And Lord, I would just ask that you would just continue this time of worship with us, and that you would use me to say those things that all of us need to hear so that we can draw closer to you. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, it's been an interesting week, at least for me. I don't know how it's been for you. And as I was looking at the scripture passage earlier this week, preparing for the sermon, I was struck by the fact that God reminds us again and again that it is not our strength that he needs. It is our weakness that we need. And it seems to be, when we look at this scripture at face value, that it seems to be a contradiction, does it not? How can we be weak, but yet through that weakness we become stronger? Because it goes against what we are taught. It goes against, I think, many times what we believe in our culture. It goes against the many things that we individually practice in our own lives. How can I be weaker, but yet somehow in that weakness be made strong? And I thought about that. And I thought about different examples that I am aware of where something is weak, yet it becomes strong. And I think the first example that comes to mind is when we realize that we need to have help. We find ourselves in that sense of weakness, in that sense of being vulnerable. We seem to find, when we hit rock bottom, when we are at the weakest time in our lives, we seem to reach out more. And when we do reach out, when we do achieve that understanding that we need help, we find that we become the stronger when we realize that we do need help. And I want to compliment all of you that are here that realize that at the times in your life when you needed help, you reached out for help. And that takes courage. Each and every one of you that has reached out in times of weakness, in times of vulnerability, in times when you have hit rock bottom and you said, I need help. I can no longer do this on my own. I want to applaud you and tell you that that is an act of courage, and how courageous you are for realizing within your own life that you needed some help, because you could see that things were not working out the way that you wanted them to work out. That takes courage. And in that act of courage, you found the strength to ask for that help. You found the strength to ask for that guidance. You are not weak. We are not weak. I am not weak when we see in our own lives that we need some help. We need someone else to give us some guidance because we can't see everything the way that things need to be seen in our lives. That took courage, because you desired to have something better in your life than you were living. That took a very extra special type of strength that a lot of people, I think, don't have. And so I applaud you for that, because it is courageous. Because you desired to understand more about yourself. You desired to understand more about yourself so you can have a better life. You desired to begin to acquire knowledge about the things that you needed to work on. And we know that when we pursue knowledge, it leads to wisdom and understanding and discernment.
those things that we need to have in our lives. Because it gives us a better understanding of ourselves. It gives us a better understanding of the things that we need to work on, our weaknesses. And because of that, we become stronger. And when we come before God, when we come as an act of worship, when we pray before God, when we praise God, we realize that in that relationship, that we are weak, but He is strong. We realize in that relationship that sense the fact that God loves us just for who we are. We sense and we understand God's grace for each and every one of us. The grace that we do not deserve. But yet in that grace, we see our vulnerabilities. We see our weaknesses. We see our flaws. But in that grace, God reminds us through His presence that we can be made stronger through those weaknesses and those vulnerabilities. And it takes courage for us to see that. It takes the power of the Spirit of God in our lives and us allowing the Spirit of God to work, to admit to ourselves our vulnerabilities, to see things in our lives in which we can say, you know what, I don't want to be in denial about my life. I don't want to be in denial about who I am. And when we can do that, when I can do that, I see the power of God that is working in my life. And you can see the power of God that is working in your life. And you know, when we come here to worship, we share similar backgrounds. And the fact that each and every one of us, because of our service to our country, we worship here. And in that sense, it's unique. It's unique because we have similar stories. Not the same, but we have similar stories. In fact, this morning I was thinking about a similar story that you might have when I was in basic training and the drill sergeant told me to walk around like a duck. But he did not tell me to say I was a duck. He wanted me to refer to myself as a different type of bird, if you know what I'm talking about. And we share similar things, similar experiences. And yet we know that many times when we are put in situations where we see our vulnerabilities, because of those vulnerabilities and those situations, it does make us stronger. It does make us better in the long run. But yet, at the moment, it seems to be all so painful and all so irrelevant. As it seems. But yet we know that many things in our lives that when we get resistance to something that we're doing, it actually makes us stronger. And the weakness that we have reminds us that we can be made stronger with a closer relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to understand that. And it's how we perceive it. It's how we understand it. And if we have taken God's grace, we have taken God's love. And when we have taken God's love, we have also taken God's sense of justice within our own lives. The scriptures that we read during the call of worship remind each and every one of us that we are to represent the light and the love and the life of Christ. And if we don't admit our own flaws, if we don't admit the fact that we need to have that light
and love and life of Jesus Christ in our lives, that we are calling God a liar. We are calling Christ a liar. And it is when we understand that, when the light of our life is shown to those things that we need to work on to make us better, we have that sense of resistance. And at times where it appears we're made to do things that somehow doesn't make any sense, but yet we should have an understanding that in that process that we are trusting God, and we are trusting God's authority in our lives to work that process for each and every one of us according to His will and according to His purpose. Because when we can see that, when we understand that God does have a vision for each and every one of us, a vision that includes us walking with God each day, sensing the forgiveness of the things that we have done wrong in our lives, embracing God's grace, in which we can do nothing to earn it. God freely gives it to us as a gift, and we respond to that truth. And we respond to that truth in such a way that we magnify the relationship of God in our lives through His Son, Jesus Christ. We pursue to do those things that are right. We pursue those things that is the truth that God wants us to represent. We pursue those things that represent the justice that God wants us to have. I know that I can only see those things. I can only be that person when I know that in my weakness, I am powerless. And without God, I can do nothing. And when I see that, I am truly filled with the understanding that God wants me to have in the presence of His Spirit that walks with me, that is with me, that is with you, that walks with you. And we respond in such a way that we become stronger in our weaknesses. Because we realize within our own lives that the strength does not come from ourselves. The strength to handle those situations, the strength to deal with ourselves, the strength to deal with others can only be found through God. And when we approach the situation understanding that I cannot do this on my own, I need help. God, will you help me? God, will you give me the understanding that I need? Will you put people in my life that will point me in the right direction? Will you give me the guidance that I need to have? And we see in those moments of indecision, when we can't make up our minds in terms of what direction we need to go, what path we need to follow, we call out to God, and He reminds us that all the time He has been with us, and we make the decisions that we need to make, not in our own strength, not in our own power, but in our own weaknesses, we make those decisions. In our own vulnerabilities, we make those decisions. Because we are trusting in God in all things. Because we know that when we come to Him saying, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say, I don't know how to handle this situation, God gives us the wisdom that we need to have to do the right thing. God gives us the understanding that we need to have to do the right thing. God gives us the willingness to do the right thing, because we are doing it through His strength. We are relying totally upon Him. We are taking off our burden and we are giving it to Him.
because we know that we cannot handle that burden, because we don't have the strength. But we know by the faith that God has given us, we know by our relationship with Him, that all things are possible. And we become open to listening and hearing the direction of God through our time of prayer, through the time that we have worship, through the times of the scriptures that we read, because we know that as we come before God, we are weak and He is strong. So we do find ourselves becoming stronger through our weaknesses as we confess them to one another before God, and as we admit those things that are in our lives that need to no longer be because they don't make us weak, because that's the relationship that God wants us to have, to be totally reliant upon Him in all things, because we truly find the strength of God and all of that purpose. Amen. Please take a few moments and prepare your hearts, and we partake of communion here openly. And that means that anyone who has the confessing knowledge or professing knowledge of Jesus Christ in their life is welcome to take communion with us. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that we are weak. And in that weakness, we see Your strength. And God, forgive us when we have wanted to control so many aspects of our lives, when we have been so insecure that we haven't made any decision that's according to Your will and purpose. And Lord, we are so thankful that You have reminded us that within our weaknesses, we find You and we get our strength from You. Lord, forgive us. And we are so thankful. Your desire is to put us on that right path and to give us the guidance that we need to have. Thank You, God, for this time of communion that we celebrate together, where we can publicly acknowledge our weaknesses and Your strengths through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's partake together. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 200, O Beautiful for Spacious Skies. I've sung that song, right? But I saw it this week, and I'm like, we need to sing that. Seems to be appropriate. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you've given us this wonderful time to worship. And Lord, we praise you, and we thank you for that. Remind us, God, that in all things, we find your strength through our weakness. Help us, God, to see that and to understand that each day. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.
Well, good morning.
It is good to have you all here this morning. We begin our service by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal number 549. The doxology number 549.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Our call to worship is hymn number 635. Answer when I call, my victorious God. When I am oppressed, release me. Have mercy and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you insult my glory, worship deceit, and seek what is false? Understand that the Lord will rescue his saint. The Lord will hear when I call him. Tremble and sin not. Examine your conscience. Lament in your bed. Offer right offerings and trust in the Lord. Many say, who can bring good? Smile upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than a bountiful harvest of crops. I can lie down in peace. I can sleep. Only you, Lord, permit me to lie down in trust. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 325, Crown Him with Many Crowns. 325, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
God, we are so thankful that you have given us this wonderful opportunity to come and worship you. And Lord, I would ask that you would bless each and every one that has come this morning to honor you in your personal relationship that you have with them through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I would ask that you would give them that special blessing, that they have made the effort to come this morning
just to worship you. I praise you for that, God. And Lord, as we come before you with the needs and requests, Lord, you know that the challenges that we are facing, the things that we are trying to decide, the discernment and the wisdom that we need to have. And God, in all those things, give us a spirit of patience as we wait upon you and our desire to follow your will for our lives. And Lord, as we think about our own needs, we think of the needs of fellow patients throughout this medical center, of the staff that is working here today, the family members that will be visiting. And Lord, we think of also our friends and families that are outside in this city, in this state, in this nation, and in the world. And Lord, we lift them up to you in prayer, because God, you remind us that as we pray to you here corporately together, that we're part of a bigger group. We're part of the Church of Jesus Christ that is worshiping today all around the world. And we lift those up to you right now in prayer. And God, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 424, I Need Thee Every Hour. Number 424, I Need Thee Every Hour.
I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour. Stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour. Teach me Thy will and Thy rich promises in Thee fulfill. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, most Holy One. Oh, make me Thine in Thee, Thou blessed Son. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee.
Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners. For you once were in darkness, but now you are in the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. Amen. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful that you have given us this blessing already of just worshiping you. And Lord, I would ask that you would continue that blessing and that the things that you would want us to hear would happen right now. Help me know, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. In the last couple of weeks, I've been involved in different things that have reminded me and other people that I've had in conversations that we as Christians are part of something that is far greater than the world in which we participate in on a regular basis. And so I want to ask you this question: do you realize that as a follower of Jesus Christ, that you are involved in something that is international? Think about that word, for instance. International. And what does that mean? It is an international, I think for me, and I think for most of us, is something in which we know that we are in different countries throughout the world. In fact, I'm part of an organization, a church, that is actually called the Evangelical Church Alliance International. And the reason why they use the word international at the end of the name of the organization is because we have ministers and chaplains that are ministering around the globe in different countries and different nations. And so they use the term international. But for you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, I think one of the things that we should understand is the meaning of what it is to be a Christian. And we know, and I think we understand, that it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ, that it means to be Christ-like. But what does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? Do we realize that as followers of Jesus Christ, that we are a part of something that is far greater than the world in which we operate in? That you and I are a part of something that is international. And even though we may not see it and we may not be a part of it and participate in a regular basis in terms of thinking it in those terms, in terms of being a worldwide organization, the Church of Jesus Christ is, and you are a part of it. So when you think of yourself as being a Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ, it means that you are related to Christ, that I am related to Christ, that each and every one of us here is related to Christ. And always remember this: when you think about the people that you are related to, you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your family. And so I am stuck with each and every one of you because we are related and we have a relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord, that you and I are the brothers and sisters of a church that is represented worldwide, that is represented internationally. So the scriptures that we have read this morning reminds us that we are a part of the Church of Jesus Christ, where we understand and we want to relate to Christ, that we should always be in the light. And we've used that analogy many times because the scriptures use that analogy many times of the difference of being in light and in darkness. And there's a reminder here that you and I are to focus on what truly matters. And what truly matters for us, being related to Jesus Christ together as the family of God, is to preach the gospel and the good news to others. And that is not a small concept. It is an international and worldwide concept that you and I, not just here locally within our own group, which I think is great, and we're here to worship God, and we're here to acknowledge Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and not just here within the city, not just here within the state, not just here within our nation, but the fact that you and I are together internationally, worldwide, representing Christ everywhere that we go. And that vital relationship that we have with Christ,
to understand that as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ and that good news, that that is to be our focus. And there is that temptation to get drawn into empty arguments about a lot of different things that when it's all said and done, it does not matter. And we are cautioned not to do that. In fact, we are cautioned to expose those situations where this argument or discussion that we're having or the effort that's being put forth in something that is not related to who we truly are as being the family of God, as we are to not even to be a part of that. In fact, we're actually told here this morning to actually expose some of those silly arguments that we find ourselves in. Some of the silly arguments that the Church of Jesus Christ is involved in that is totally irrelevant to who we are and what we represent in Christ. And we are to expose those things. And I think the best way that we can expose those things is to live a life that honors God in Christ in our lives, in all that we do and all that we say. Because then we can truly expose those things that are darkness around us. And we do things in a way in which we show the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord in all that we do. And that is the true meaning of what we are to represent in terms of who we are. And we do that by understanding the faith that has been given to us, the faith that comes to us through the cross, that we make every effort to be holy, to be righteous. And that is difficult to do. That is hard to do. But we are commanded to do that, to be holy with each other, to be righteous with each other, to live at peace with each other. Because then you see we're expressing the faith that God wants us to have as being related to Christ, having that meaning that has purpose and gives us a reason to get up every morning to say, you know what, God? I don't know what my day is going to be like. I'm not feeling 100%. I had a bad day yesterday, but God, you know what? I'm going to do the best I can to live for you. And that is something in which we need to strive to do every day, that we need to work at. We need to work at the holiness and the righteousness that God wants us to have. We need to work at it to be at peace. I wish there was some type of magical pill or some kind of concoction that we can have where if we just take it every day, we'll have the peace that God wants us to have, that we'll have the holiness and the righteousness that God wants us to have. But you see, it requires effort on our part. Effort to just allow the Holy Spirit to come and to work in our lives. And then we truly begin to understand the whole idea of what it is, the meaning of being a Christian, in being a follower of Jesus Christ, being related to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, that you and I, because of that relationship, you and I are the sons and daughters of God. But yet we need to be willing to accept responsibility for being a Christian. We need to take ownership of that. I like the term that's being used, that's been used for many years now, the whole idea of having a sense of empowerment. Do you have a sense of empowerment in Christ? Because you should. Because if you have trusted Christ as your personal Savior, the power of the Holy Spirit is there with you. Because it is the Holy Spirit of God that called you to be one of His own. And we have access to that power all of the time in our lives. All of the time. To help us deal with the circumstances that we're trying to get through and get over. To give us that whole idea that as we follow God's will, that it's by the grace of God that you and I go because of the forgiveness of sins, of things that have happened in our lives on a regular basis, because there's nobody here that is perfect. That's why we spend the time to worship, to acknowledge Christ in our lives. That's why we spend the time to have communion, to understand that as we take communion as a body of believers in Jesus Christ, it's an acknowledgement of the forgiveness of sins that have happened in our lives, and because of that, that you and I are transformed. You and I are made different. You and I are empowered.
being a follower of Jesus Christ, because we're willing to accept the responsibility of who we are in Christ. But yet, we should not underestimate the whole idea of being a follower of Jesus Christ, being related to Jesus Christ, by the wonder and the majesty of God. And as we have talked about for the last couple of months, the whole idea of understanding the miracles that take place in our lives on a regular basis, and that you and I participate in those miracles. God makes you a part of a miracle, not only just for yourself, but for someone else. And we're not talking about big miracles, other than big miracles can happen. We're talking about the little miracles that you and I do with each other. Just the fact that you come and worship here with me on Sunday morning, to me, is a miracle. That's supposed to be a joke, but that's okay. It is a miracle that you come back to worship here after you hear me preach on Sunday. It is a miracle that you hear Chaplain Butler preach on Sunday and you come back again and worship. And I know Chaplain Butler and I are both thankful for the miracles that we see here every Sunday when we come and worship. Because it's really important to us. Because it gives a little bit more meaning and purpose for us when we're preaching to more than just one person, or sometimes nobody. But you see, we are here not just for the numbers. We are here for each of you individually. And that's what's something that's really unique of being related to Jesus Christ, is as we think about the worldwide responsibilities of the Church of Jesus Christ, it begins with the responsibility that you and I have to each other one-on-one. And it's not about the numbers. And I think that's one of the wonders that we need to understand more, that as we are part of something greater, we need to understand that. But then God also reminds us, I'm here for you to take care of the one. I don't know if you recall the parable where the good shepherd leaves the 99, he goes after the one. And it's a reminder that in God's church, being a follower of Jesus Christ, it's not a numbers game. It's about the one. It's about you. It's about me. And I don't think we take enough time to step back and just look at the wonder of that, saying, God, I am so thankful that you've given me my family and my friends. And God, I am even thankful for when I've messed up my life and somehow you've come and you've reminded me that you still love me, that you still care for me, you still want to have a relationship with me, you still want to be able to forgive me. And God, to me, that is just wonder and amazement. Because in that, we see what desire we have to be willing to follow God wherever He wants us to go. You ever have a situation where, you know, it was just the right thing to do and you just kind of struggled with it and you really wasn't sure and you just didn't have the confidence, but you went ahead and you did something because you knew it was the right thing, and then all of a sudden, after you did that right thing, you just found the peace and you found the purpose, not because of the results of doing what was right, but just because that you did the right thing. And that really truly is an acknowledgement that God reminds us that as long as we are attempting to do the right thing in our lives and in the lives of others, we have that sense of understanding and that sense of meaning that God wants us to have. As we do those things, as we endeavor to do the right thing, and it's always right to do the right thing. It is never wrong to do the right thing. It is always right to do the right thing all of the time. Because then we see in that wonder and that amazement, as we do those things willingly to God, it's almost in some sense a sign of like a sacrifice, because we give up some of those securities that we have when we want to do things for God, but yet we're not sure because we're comfortable with the surroundings that we have and we can plan out certain things and we have a sense of security in our lives. And God reminds us that He wants us to step out of that security every once in a while Because when we feel insecure, what do? We actually say, God, I just feel insecure here. I just feel not in proper balance. I know I am taking the right step to follow you. I know that I'm doing the right thing, but God, it's just so much easier for me to go back into my security, to not to put my trust and my confidence in you. And God takes us through that process of having that insecurity, of doing the right thing. Do I not do the right thing? We end up doing the right thing because we're willing to do what God is telling us to do, and all of a sudden we find peace in that, and we find understanding in that insecurity, and we say, oh, God, oh, thank you. Because I feel as though a burden has just been lifted from me. Do you ever feel that way when God makes us take that step? He doesn't take us very far, but just the willingness that God wants us to have to understand in the meaning of being a Christian, to take some of those steps. And then we have that sense of burden being lifted from us because we did the right thing. And when we have the willingness to do those things, to be able to step out of our security into the insecurity, and then we realize that God is with us and that He is in control and that He's going to take care of those circumstances, then it is within our hearts that we have a sense of worship that we experience. The worship that is not loud, the worship that's not something in which we shout praise to the Lord, we can do that. But many times for me is a sense of worship where the world seems to be okay with itself. And my involvement with the world is okay. Because then I find myself with the whole understanding as we do that, as we worship, we do so in the light. Because if you and I were in darkness today, you probably would not be here to worship. Because we make the effort to worship in the light. We make an effort to worship in the light so we can see the things in our lives that we need to work on. Because not everything in my life is full of light. There are dark areas. There are shadows that I need to work on. There are things in my life where the light needs to expose more so I can work on those things that don't profit me at all, that bring no personal benefit for me. And sometimes, on the contrary, it actually takes away from the light. But God says, as we are willing to worship God in all that we do and all that we say, and we are willing to be the light, not only do we expose, or are supposed to expose, the darkness in others, but we also expose the darkness in ourselves that we need to work on. And that's a good thing. That's a positive. That's where we have that sense empowerment, not with ourselves, but with God working in our lives. And then we just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your willingness to work in my life. Thank you that you're allowing the light of the Holy Spirit to shine in my life so I can work on those things, so I can help other people not to be in the darkness in their life, by sharing with them the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ, so they too can experience the same calling, the same beckoning of the Spirit in their lives that has called me to be one of your followers, to be Christ-like, and to understand that meaning of what it is to be that. And then we understand, as God is with us in all of those circumstances, that in that relationship, that there is really nothing for us to fear in life. There's nothing in life that we need to have so much anxiety about. Because we take those circumstances and we really put it on the altar of the sacrifice of the cross. And we say, God, you know, I got problems with this issue. I need some discernment. I need some understanding. I need some help because, God, I just can't do it in my own power, my own strength. And we take that issue, or we take that concern, we take that circumstance, we take that challenge, and we put it on the altar. And we say, God, I am just giving this to you right now. I am praying that you would help me through the power of the Holy Spirit to work in my life, to work in the lives of the people that are around me, that somehow I can get through this challenge. And I know, God, that after that, there'll be another challenge. But right now, God, I am just focusing on this one right now. Give me the strength and the power that I need to have. Give me the peace that I need to have. Give me the willingness that I need to have. Give me the whole attitude of worship that I need to have. Give me the wonder that I need to have. Give me the strength to work at it so I can accomplish what you want me to be in all things. As you have identified me as a son and as a daughter of God, and that as you have identified me as being part of something that is far greater, which is the Church of Jesus Christ that is represented internationally and worldwide. But Lord, right now, I just feel that I am that one sheep, and that you've come after me, and that you've left the 99. And God, I am so thankful that you've come to look for me, that you have found me. And God, I open up my heart, I open up my life to you, because I want to be brought back. I want to be part of the flock. I want to be part of the other 99. I want to be part of that family that you have said that I am a part of. So it is my hope and prayer that we understand within our own lives the meaning of what it is to be a Christian, to be Christ-like, to understand that as we look at our own lives that we are part of something that is far greater, and that your part is just as important as anyone else's part in that greater church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts for communion that we take here as an act of worship, to say, God, here I am, I forgive me for who I am, and love me. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful that you have reminded us this morning how we are part of the greater good of your church. But many times, God, individually, we just don't feel a part of that. We feel like we're the one out there all by ourselves. But you remind us, God, how important the one is, and that it is part of everything else that takes place. We praise you for that, and we thank you. And Lord, as we take communion together, we do so as separate individuals, but God, we also do so together as part of your church, of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for allowing us to do this, and forgiving us of our sins. In Christ's name. Amen. I received from the Lord, what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 431, "Open My Eyes That I May See." Reminded us how we all are a part of your church. And God, let us leave here being reminded of that fact, that we are not alone, that we are part of something far greater in all that we do and all that we say. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming. Thanks for coming today and worshiping here in our chapel. We begin by singing the doxology, and it is found in your red hymnal number 549. The doxology number 549.
Praise God.
worship is hymn number 694. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or comeliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he has wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 480, which is in the red hymnal, number 480. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. The Lord in prayer this morning. Our gracious God, you know of the needs that we have in our lives, the challenges that we are facing. Lord, we know that some will be graduating this week from the various programs that they are part of, and Lord, we would just ask that you would give them that understanding and that discernment that they need to have as they take what they have learned and they face the daily challenges that they will have. Lord, we ask that you would give them the vision to see what they have learned and how to apply it to their individual lives and how it can benefit not only them, but it can benefit all the relationships that they are a part of. That they can understand and they can endure, that they will have the courage, that they will be able to make the sacrifice for the betterment of themselves and for the people that they love. And Lord, we just lift them up to you in prayer. And God, we'd ask that you would give them that discernment that they need to have to make the right choices and to do the right thing. Lord, we think of the needs of other patients throughout this medical center. Lord, we think of the family members that will be visiting, the staff that is working today. And God, many times we pray for the same thing for the same people, but you promise us in our word to continue to do that, to allow the Holy Spirit to address our lives and address the needs of others. Because, God, it is so important that we think of others and not only of ourselves as we pray. And we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we can worship here in this chapel. We do not take it for granted. We thank you for the service and the sacrifice of the men and women that have made this freedom possible in this country. Lord, we thank you for their service in peace and in war, so we could enjoy the freedoms every day that we take for granted. Help us, God, not to do that, but to remember that there was a price and a sacrifice for all the freedoms that we have in this nation. And God, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 485, Take My Life and Let It Be, number 485. Scripture this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, beginning with verse 18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who hear it beg for no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth,
how much less will we? If we turn away from him, who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Let us pray.
Our gracious God, Lord, we are so thankful for the hymns that we have sung together, the scriptures that we have read. Lord, I would just ask that that fellowship would continue as we worship you. And Lord, help me to speak the truth that all of us need to hear so that we can have a better relationship with you, God, and with each other. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I don't know what kind of week you had, but I hope it was a good week. I hope things worked out for you okay. And if not, today is the beginning of another week, and I hope this week works out for you okay. Because we always need to be looking forward to the hope that God has given us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And my week went okay, not as great as I wanted to. There were things that kind of gave me some ups, and there were kind of some things that gave me downs. There were some different responsibilities that came my way that there are times I would like to ask, Lord, may this extra responsibility that I've been given be passed from me. Does someone else ever feel like that? Lord, I don't want any more responsibility. Thank you, Lord, for trusting me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. But I don't know, do you really trust me with this extra responsibility, God? So I struggle with that as well. This morning I want to talk to you about the fact that as we journey each day through our individual lives, that we have times when we celebrate in joy the different successes and accomplishments that we have, and there are times that as we face the different challenges we have and the different circumstances that we have to undertake, we do so with fear and trembling. And it is something that I'm reminded of, that as we go before God in prayer, as we do it individually and as we do it collectively, that I think those same feelings, those same understandings that we have about God, focus on those same things, joy or fear. And I think many times we don't go before God the way that we should because, rightfully so, we fear God. Because we know God knows all things. We know God sees all things. And there's nothing that we can hide from God. And so we go to God in prayer with faith believing, and we have that element of fear because we know that God knows all things. We can't hide anything from God. But yet we seem to make an attempt to, don't we? Even when the Holy Spirit says, hey, what are you talking about here? I know the truth about who you are as a person. I know that you are seeking the results that you want for your own selfish motives. But then there are times that we go before the Lord in all joy, open and honest before God, laying before God, prostrating ourselves before God, in all humbleness and in all humility, knowing that God knows everything about us and that there is nothing for us to hide from God. And we lay it all out to him, our frustrations, our anger, our disappointments. And we ask God more and more to expose the truth about our everyday lives so we can experience the joy that God wants us to have. So, before God, what is it for you? What is it for me? Do we go before God in fear and trembling? Or do we go before God in all joy? And once again, the only reason why we're experiencing that fear is because
we are holding something back from God, and we know it, and we know that God knows it. But yet when we go before the Lord in all joy, we are clean. We know in all honesty that God accepts us and loves us for who we are. And yes, we lay exposed before God in the truth of who we are. But yet there is a joy in that honesty. There is a joy in that truth. There is that joy in that revelation that God loves us and accepts us just for who we are. God knows of my imperfections. God knows of my frustrations. God knows the things that I am struggling with every day. But yet God would prefer for us to go before him in joy. Understanding the power of God, yes. Understanding the whole idea of who God is. Understanding what God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. But going before the God that we worship in all joy. And if we are worshiping God in all joy, if we are going before God in all joy, then we truly are part of that joyful assembly with God, wanting to be with God in such a way that we praise him for those challenges. We praise him for those circumstances. We praise him for those frustrations. Because then we see our faith as it is before God. And faith is something that we need to express before God all of the time. That we need to make the effort to express that faith in the things that we do for God. And part of that expression is when we are able to live at peace with all people. To live at peace with ourselves first and foremost. And we have talked about that again and again here in the chapel. That everything that begins in our relationship with God begins with ourselves. Understanding where we need to place ourselves in our relationship with God. And it begins by understanding that we need to be at peace with all people. But how do we get there? Because as we have gone through this journey of life, you and I have acquired baggage about people, haven't we? Baggage about people that sometimes maybe we don't trust the way that we should. The baggage of the things that have happened to us. The baggage of the fear of being with certain people because of what has happened to us in the past. Because I don't want to be with people that have wronged me. I don't want to associate with people that have hurt me. But yet God tells us that for us to have the faith that he wants us to have, that we need to be at peace with all people. Somehow we need to come to terms with the people that make us feel uncomfortable. That reminds us of the wrongs that have been done to us. The things that have hurt us. But yet somehow we need to be at peace. The way that we can find that peace is looking only to God to give us that peace, to give us that joy. And as we are in that relationship with God, as we are doing our best to be holy as we walk daily with God, we ask God to give us the strength that we need to have, to give us the understanding that we need to have. Because when we are focused on God and our relationship with God, what can people do to you? Absolutely nothing. Because there is no way, if you are focused on the things of God, that anybody can hurt you, either past, present, or forward. Because the scriptures tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we see in our relationship with God that even though we are with those people that perhaps have hurt us, cause us unrest, cause us feelings of frustration and anger and of fear,
But when we are walking with God, when we are at peace with God, when we want to be holy before God, those people cannot hurt you. Those people cannot separate you from the love of God. And we see within our own lives that as we have that faith that God wants us to have, and it goes beyond our own understanding, we express that faith in wonder. We ask ourselves the question, God, I don't know why you love me or how you love me, but I just know that you do. And I am so thankful for what your Son Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And it is with wonder and amazement that you constantly want me to be a part of a relationship with you. And so we see that as we see that faith expressed in wonder, not understanding all of the things, but truly understanding the living God, the loving God, that wants you to be a part of a relationship with him because you are part of God's creation. You are one of his created beings. I am one of his created beings. And it is in that wonder that we see it all around us. We see it in the life that God has created. We see it in the lives of others. And we are expressed in wonder in our walk in faith with God. But then we see as we are taking that faith that God wants us to have, we see it and we apply it in the effort that we make before God, the working aspects of it. And then we see the wondering aspects of it. Then we see our willingness to express the faith that God wants us to have in all of the circumstances that we are a part of, the people that we interact with daily, the people that look at our lives and perhaps they might think of us as a failure. But God does not. God does not see you as a failure. Keep that in mind. The creator of the world, the creator of the universe, the creator of all of us does not see you as a failure. Because that's why he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for your sins and to die for my sins. And an atonement for our separation from God. God does not see you as a failure. And when we know that and when we understand that, it is with joy that we express our willingness to serve God wherever we are, wherever God has called us to be, wherever God wants us to be. And we see as we are willing to do the things of God that our faith is strengthened. The only way that you can strengthen your faith is by utilizing, by expressing it in the wonder of God, by being willing to serve God wherever that might be. And more times than not, it is the small things that we do for each other that express the willingness that God wants us to have in the application of our faith. But then as we do that, we see that our faith is expressed in how we worship God, how our faith is used by God. And then we see as we are worshiping God by faith, the understanding that God wants us to have, the understanding that gives us the opportunity to see the truth of our lives and to trust God in those circumstances. And we see within that worship of God the whole idea that God wants us to be thankful for those difficulties, to be thankful for those circumstances, as much as we would like to see them removed from our lives. God is building something stronger inside of you because of those challenges. Because as long as God is wanting to have you work through the different things in your life to make you stronger, to make you more mature in your walk with him, it will always be a challenge. But remember, that as long as you're making the attempt to thrive in your relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, you are living the life that God wants you to live. And if you stop thriving in your relationship with God, then you truly are dying as a person. So embrace those challenges. Embrace the things that God wants you to work at and to work through, because you will mature. It will make you stronger. And yes, will there be times when you have anxiety? Will there be times when you have fear as to whether you think you can measure up to the challenges that is faced before you? The responsibilities that you have been given, where you've asked God, please, no more. I don't know if I am smart enough. I don't know if I can take care of this new challenge that you have given me. But God says, in that voice, that still small voice, that speaks to us through hymns, that speaks to us through scripture, that speaks to us through prayer, I will give you the strength that you need to have to take on that new responsibility and to grow through it, to become stronger. And we do that when we come before God and we worship. We see that God is working in our lives because we see how God is working in other people's lives. You are not alone in the challenges that you are facing. You are not alone in perhaps the responsibilities that you really don't want to have anymore, but yet God is telling you, I want you to be through this responsibility. I want to see you through this responsibility. I want you to learn from this responsibility. I want you to grow from this responsibility. I want you to mature through this responsibility. I want you to thrive every day in your life. That's why I'm giving you these challenges. And then we say, okay, God, I can't do it. Not my will, but your will be done in this circumstance. It's like a puzzle where you have all these different pieces and you go before the puzzle and all the pieces are taken apart and you start working on that puzzle, try to figure it out how it works. And initially, I don't know about you, but when I'm doing a puzzle, even with my grandkids, it kind of stresses me out. Okay, how do we see this puzzle to completion? Thankfully, the completed picture is on the box, right? And you know how to put them together, right? But you know what? God has a completed picture of you this morning. And many times when we look at the different pieces of the puzzle that we have in our lives, we want to see a completed picture. God knows what that completed picture is for you and for me. It is with faith that we pick up those pieces of the puzzle that God has given us, even though we cannot see that completed picture. And we're trusting as He guides our hand to put that one piece of puzzle next to the other, and we say, ah, those two things seem to fit. Okay, God, what is the next piece of puzzle that you want me to put into this picture? And that is what truly faith is. It's trusting in God that even though we don't see the complete picture of our own puzzle of our life, God does. And He gives us one piece at a time to connect that picture. Because probably if we ever saw the completed picture that God has for us, we would probably say, God, there is no way that that can be me. But God is saying, yes, yes, that completed picture is perfection. Not for anything that you have done, but as what you have believed in faith believing in my Son, Jesus Christ, to do those things in your daily lives, to walk by faith. And then we say, yes, God. Thank you, God. And we see the different puzzles of the picture begin to take place, and we begin to see things the way that God wants us to see them. And then we begin to understand. Then we begin to have that attitude of thankfulness before God. And then we see the circumstances that God has given us. And we praise and rejoice with Him in the circumstances that we are part of. And then we see with reverence the awe of God, the life of God working to change us for the better, working to make our lives better, working for us so we put forth the effort that God wants us to have every day, to acknowledge Him. To acknowledge Him and to say to God, I don't know what this day is going to be like for me, God, but I am beginning with prayer, and it is with faith believing, and I will make the effort to do the things that you want me to do, but I need your strength. I need for you to give me the insight and the ability and the courage to make those decisions, to do those right things, to walk wholly with you, and to accept in faith believing how your final picture and how my final picture will work out. Because it will work out in the perfection of what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And you and I will be that perfect picture. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts as we take communion together. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you have reminded us that in your eyes we are a perfect picture. But God, we can't see that yet. We see all the flaws of the picture of our own lives thus far. But God, we know in faith believing that we have been perfected not for anything that we have done, but because of what your Son, Jesus Christ, did for us on the cross. And God, we praise you for that. And Lord, help us in faith believing with joy and not with fear as we confess those things in our lives that have separated us from your love because of our sin. We lay those things before you now because we truly want to have a joyous relationship with you in all things. Thank you, God, for forgiving us and loving us just the way we are. In Christ's name, amen. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn this morning is number 504, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." Hymn number 504. Perfections in worship, and that they are transformed by the perfection of the love that you have for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, help us to have the faith that we need to have, to go before you with all joy, with all of those circumstances. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.